Welcome to another episode of the Capital Playbook. My name is Charles Williams. I am the owner and managing member of Pioneer Realty Capital. And today we're excited to have you with us. We have with us Mr. Michael Jones, who's with Franchise Real Estate Group. And you may remember Mr. Jones, or we might call him Judge Jones, because he's also a judge. So don't get in trouble. But you might remember him because we had him on our show to talk about land transactions.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, previous on our show, we were talking about land transactions under another or different economic environment. But today, the financial markets have changed. So we're going to talk about land transactions today in a new economic climate and what impact the current financial markets are having on land transactions. But to get us started, we want to reintroduce Judge Jones to get a little more information about his background, his history in the real estate business, some of the things that he's involved in. So Mr. Jones, or Judge Jones, if you will, tell us a little bit about your professional background. How did it come about that as a political guy who's, I think you studied political science, right?
In school, yes. In school,
right? You studied political science.
Yes.
And you've been involved with a lot of political or governmental type things and served in a lot of capacities.
Right.
How did it come to be that you also became a real estate expert in land transactions?
All right. Well, actually, I started working for a local municipality, a big local city. Mm-hmm. And so you work with the elected officials, you work with senior management, and you get to knowing how business gets done in local government. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, it kind of rubs off. And so you're able to make decisions on the inside. As an actual employee, working on different projects, actually worked in real estate as well. Mm-hmm. I've managed over 1,200 city-owned properties, which includes a lot of, you know, land banks, CHOTOs, which those are nonprofit organizations, or what Habitat for Humanity is a good one as well. Mm-hmm. So I managed a lot of those, a lot of commercial properties, city-owned, and a lot of the tower leases as well. And so when we say tower leases, you have a cell phone that you currently use, mm-hmm. and then those radio signals that will transmit back and forth, those towers being off of those. And so I would manage on the back end a lot of the budgetary leases, mm-hmm. To make sure, you know, funds were collected, you know, make sure that everything was being accounted for, mm-hmm. and working with our real estate department to help manage those leases. And again, working with individual T-Mobile, Verizon, things like that. So, just working on a daily basis with inside government, working with senior management, and then transitioning out into taking more of a leadership role in the political realm. So mm-hmm. that's kind of where I got to where I was at right now.
Okay. Well, very interesting. That's a interesting career path into commercial real estate, but no doubt working with some of these city governments gave you a lot of exposure. Mm-hmm. And probably grew your connections as well, huh?
Yes, connections, experience, which is very important. So you can know what you're doing. Connections with anything, you know, in real estate, networking is very important. So having those connections will make a contract, or it can make a transaction at ease.
Yeah, yeah. So now you and I were talking earlier that here in the Dallas area, mm-hmm. We are seeing a lot of growth in the southern sector. Uh-huh. And you had mentioned, I think it's pretty apparent if you drive down I-20 and where I-35 and I-20 meet,
right.
We see a lot of that industrial growth. Now, there's still a lot of land out there. Mm-hmm. What impact is that growth having on current land prices right now, do you think?
I think, you know, if anything, it kind of drives the price up a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, land may can go from, depending on where it's at, it could be $8 a square foot for a big, large tract, or it could be $10 to $12 per square foot. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing some upwards to about $14 on hard corner or high retail development areas. Mm-hmm. So it really depends. I can say that, you know, I would say maybe about this time last year, maybe a little bit before that, we got those waves from a lot of out-of-state investors that would come in and buy up a whole bunch of land. I mean, it doesn't matter what it was. And so you would get those fluctuations of individuals buying that land, they'll buy it and hold on to it until the market shifts or articulates. And then from there, now you're seeing development going. If you go on 20 and 35, you'll see a lot of bigger warehouses, and which one may shut down and wonder why is it here in the southern sector. But if one of the biggest thing for commercial real estate is location, right? location, very important. Access to the highway is very important. If you take 35 south, that'll take you down to what, the, you know, Corpus Christi or to the Gulf of Mexico. Take 45 south, guess what? It takes you down the Gulf of Mexico. If you take I-20 east or west, it could take to the east coast or west coast. So we become more of a hub from the shipping ports all the way to the whole nation.
That makes sense. So that's why they want to be here, because they can just get on one of those major highways going north or south, and they'll be able to get their product to wherever they, I guess, whatever market they want to get it to.
Yeah, pretty quickly. And also a lot of the land on the southern sector is flat. So you don't have to move a whole bunch of dirt around to bring dirt in.
Yeah,
so
that makes
sense. Land is closer to dig ready, you know, outside of, you know, bringing in your utilities and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And plus those warehouses aren't, you know, big multi-story heavy buildings. So you don't have the geotechnical issues that you would typically have when you're building, you know, heavier structures like apartments or large, you know, multi-story buildings and so forth.
Right.
Now, so you feel that, and it makes sense that because that demand is higher for a lot of those reasons in the southern sector, land prices are going up. But what impact do you think that the current interest rate environment is having on those land transactions? Are those buyers generally cash buyers? Are they financing these transactions? And if they are financing, you know, what impact, you know, have the interest rate market had on those type of transactions?
I think with the interest rates that go up, it shifts. I mean, of course, the cost to buy or borrow is more expensive. I've seen more cash transactions or coupled with a lot of private funding for what I've been seeing. So that makes the deals go about a little bit quicker and not as stringent to a lot of traditional financing. But yeah, just to reiterate, I mean, you have more property being bought by cash. And then in addition, as those projects are coupled with, you know, let's say it's a mixed use or retail industrial, then you have a lot of private equity funding that are coupled together to make those projects go into fruition.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what do you think the future holds for the market? There is a lot of land still available there.
A lot of land.
And, you know, but just because the land is there, you got to have a seller and a buyer.
Right.
Are you seeing sellers becoming more active in letting go of their property, or are they holding onto their property, or so what's happening on that side right now?
Well, it's a little bit of both. One, you do have those sellers that just want to hold all the way on, you know, for the biggest payout, payday. And then you also have other sellers that are wanting to, that are aggressively want to sell it through one, a 1031 exchange for a property where, you know, of course they want to diversify the portfolio, or and you can have them want to sell the property and dump it because a lot of sellers are getting older in those specific areas within the southern sector. So it's a mixture of both of those. And also it adds opportunity for outside developers to come on in and do a lot of different mixed-use projects or redevelopment things. And again, it depends upon the city and what direction they're going and what the citizens in those cities are looking for.
Yeah, and that is important because just because you own the land doesn't necessarily mean you can do what you want to do with the land.
That's correct.
You know, so particularly in that area, and I have an interest in that area because we're looking at doing some workforce housing and some affordable housing projects down there. What is the political climate like in terms of getting things through planning and zoning, getting your subdivisions platted properly? You know, do you find that in the southern sector that those cities are easier to work with right now to get those things done, or are they, you know, very difficult to work with, or is it it just depends type thing?
The later part of it just depends. Every city has their own political climate. Like for instance, one city, you know, I'm very fond of is DeSoto. And so a lot of the citizens make it known that they're not big on multifamilies. They're big on ensuring that their properties hold value or if not increase in value, but not the taxes, but increase in value. And so they look for different things such as mixed use projects, entertainment, you know, those things that you may have that's in the northern part of the Metroplex, they want it down south. So if it's a situation where affordable housing, they may not be privy to it, but it depends on seeing the whole project as a whole.
Because so it could be part of a mixed use type development. But as a standalone development for affordable housing, they're going to shy away from it.
But again, it also is about education, you know, and with any local municipality or a jurisdiction, you want to make sure that the education is on point. Because regardless if it's affordable housing or not, or if it's, you know, a higher luxury apartments, you want to make sure that the message and what is being brought there, it's clear. Because if you don't have that message clear, then you're liable for one in zoning board to go ahead and decline it. Or if you get past zoning board, city council could
kill it too, issue the permit.
That goes based off of you have some citizens that do their homework, that listen, that go to these zoning meetings. And then one talks to another and word of mouth get there. You have a whole chambers, or you have a whole area full of citizens who are opposed a project, and they could oppose it for honestly the incorrect reasons. And you know, so
it just, not that that's ever happened to me. Happens all the time.
That's
a very important part, and you know, and that's important for our audience to appreciate. Just because you go out and buy some land, that does not mean that you're going to be able to do what you want to with that land. There's an entire entitlement process that entitles you to, you know, to develop that land according to your purpose, and of course, the Planning and Zoning Commission is very important with that, you know, to get the land zoned. Now, most of that land in the southern sector, is it zoned R1 or R2? I mean, not R1, but probably agriculture,
Yeah, lot is agriculture. A lot of it is SF, which is single family, depending on the size. Most of the rural areas, you have the ag, then you have some residential. The residential lots may be bigger. So if you're coming to put a subdivision, you have to rezone it from, let's say, SF 20, which is 20,000 square feet, lot size down to, you know, 8,000 or 15,000 or whatever. So it depends on how that city is. And then you have to look at the future zoning plans or future comprehensive plans or development plans for the city. That'll help give you a better idea on where to go, where to go ahead and seek the land, you know, what land's out there. You know, do you have a good chance of getting rezoned or replatted? It just depends.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you mentioned that a lot of the cities in the southern sector want more of the entertainment, the fine dining, music, nightlife, entertainment, I'm imagining. Some of the things that people are experiencing in the northern sector of Dallas. Why do you suppose that it's been so difficult to get some of these fine dining and some of these entertainment venues into some of these southern sector cities?
Well, if you look at it from a land perspective, you know, outside of any political, you know, motives, but if you look at it from a land perspective or a development perspective, you know, you have a piece of land there, it has to be developed. And if it's raw land, that means you have no utilities on that land, you know, and which means you got to go ahead and create infrastructure to bring in utilities, create infrastructure to bring in, you know, roads and things like that, and then actually build all the way up, which it can be very costly if you don't have a lot of contributions or you have any incentives from the cities. So a lot of places up north have already been pre-developed for those. Or you have a lot of developers that have went north and coupled with other ones to create a destination place. And if we don't have that in the southern sector, then, you know, a lot, then, you know, you, it'd be a hard, difficult, you know, I would say, not transition, but a difficult change for it. Everything starts migrating towards an outside areas, and then everybody goes right back downtown. Then it goes back out, then go back downtown. And so, you know, we have to go ahead and now say, hey, you know, we have stuff here on the southern side. Hey, come check us out. Our land is just as great as it is up north. Our prices are competitive. And, you know, we have the we have the demographics. Demographics meaning we have the income. We have the traffic counts. We have it here. Just look at us as opposed to looking up north.
Yeah. So now are the southern sector cities, are they open to doing PIDs and MUDs? Municipal utility districts and public infrastructure district. Are they looking at doing those? Because that's what we would typically use to offset some of our infrastructure costs. You know, have they explored, in your opinion, have they explored many of those options?
I have not seen a lot of those being explored. I just know that at southern ports, some areas, in the southern sector, they may have not had great experience with PIDs. And I don't think that those PIDs or let's say MUDs would be set up correctly. So I think it's on the front end how it gets set up. And of course, it goes back to that education component, education piece. If you have to, if you could set that up and have several town meetings, conceptual designs, plans, I think that you can be able to pass stuff through there, so it's not a big, you know, cost when it goes back on the taxpayers. Because that's at the end of the day, it's the taxpayers. It's
gonna but the benefit, and of course, I know you talked about that conundrum where a lot of those citizens in the southern city, they don't want their taxes to go up.
That's right.
But they do want some of these. They want to have these experiences, but you know, you can't do both, right?
No.
Because there are infrastructure needs in the southern sector, somehow you have to pay for that. And generally that's going to become a tax burden to the city, but it's offset by, you know, the revenue being brought to the city in the form of sales tax, you know, property tax, and so forth. Is it difficult to really educate citizens to help them to appreciate that? And usually if it's a MUD, a municipal utility district, it's only going to impact the folks in that MUD district. And so if a person is already a resident there, generally it's not going to impact them. But do you still think for some of these folks that it's still a hard sell?
It depends. I think that maybe a lot of the older owners, more seasoned, I would say, they may not resistant to change. Let me say that. If you have newer, younger, not necessarily young, but you know, middle age, I would say, who don't mind paying,
right.
Who don't mind paying for, you know, for service, don't mind paying for higher taxes because you're paying for service. I don't think it would be a hard sell for them.
Right.
But again, it just depends on what is the benefits that's going to be out of there. What's the trade-offs I'm going to get for it?
And it's just a matter, like you said, a good marketing PR just really helping citizens understand what they're getting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you see continued growth out in the southern sector, a lot of transactions. I mean, again, there's a lot of land, great location in terms of its access to the major thoroughfares, 45 and 35, and then it connects with 20 going east and west.
That's correct.
I tell you, Dallas-Fort Worth, people are surprised by how fast it's growing. But when you look at the infrastructure, especially around transportation. I mean, we have a phenomenal airport. Here, you know, we have
Two airports.
You have two.
No, well, you got Lexington. It's just three airports. You got several airports.
Yeah, got several airports, and there's even thought of expanding to get more cargo, having another cargo airport in the southern sector. So that's amazing. The shipping is amazing. Railroad system is amazing. The highways are amazing because of the way it connects. The growth in that area is really a gem, and it's really going to be phenomenal. And of course, you're privileged enough to be representing those properties out there, right?
Yes, absolutely. I know that once we represent the owners, we give them a good analysis on how the market's looking. Mm-hmm. We check out the city to kind of see what direction they're going. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the zoning map to see what looks feasible or not. Mm-hmm. And we just always encourage them to put a spin on it. What can you, we understand that it's your property. We understand that you want to develop and make this great development.
Right.
But also, what can you do to have a good sale for the local people who would use it, with the local community?
Yeah, as long as it impact good, them.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Right. I think can make or break a deal. You know, it's okay to put up, let's just say it's okay to put up different industrial complexes, but how can you make a spinoff on where you can give back?
Yeah.
Such as it could be a portion of it could be an incubator for, smaller logistics companies.
Right. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's great ideas out there. Right. I mean, can you put different miscellaneous pad sites for different type of dining, restaurants and things like that? Mm-hmm. Can you create something where if there's the area of a lot of entrepreneurs, how can you maximize that area and, and provide a piece for those? Not saying you're doing it for free, but, you're providing an opportunity for success for other entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. As long as you can put that spin in there, I think that's a great sale, and I think the community would love it.
Yeah. Now, one issue that I've become aware of here recently is the need for big rig, or 18-wheeler parking.
Oh my goodness. That is the most hardest use to have here in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah. And we have all that land down there, but of course that's not the best use of that property is to put parking there. Cause I don't think you can generate enough revenue to cover the cost of having it.
No.
So what do you think, what's the solution for that? Or do you think there is a solution, or we're still looking for it?
Man, to find just truck parking usage, I mean, for one, the cities, local inner cities are not going to zone or rezone for that.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Right.
Two, for you to be able to get that type of use for parking, you have to drive, whether it's south or east or possibly west to maybe an unincorporated area that would be, would allow for that. Mm. Now, I've seen areas that are grandfathered in on that, but, you're going to pay a little penny to park your, to park your vehicle there. Mm. So the ones who actually have it here in the Metroplex, they're benefiting.
Yeah.
But
they're probably making a ton of money if they got the land, depending on, but again, that land could be used for purposes that yield a much greater return than just for parking. So I guess that's an area that, we'll see how that fixes itself at some point in time. I wonder if, the move towards autonomous vehicles will impact or kind of provide some solution for that, because you can essentially keep those vehicles going 24/7.
Right.
And then that will, decrease that demand for having a place for parking. So I can tell you one thing, the world is changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in our audience and if you don't know that we are in an industrial revolution built around technology, man, I'm telling you, 10 years from now, the world will be 1,000% different than it is now. Mm-hmm. So definitely start looking at what's going on, especially around real estate. There are going to be great opportunities in real estate. There are great opportunities in real estate, commercial real estate right now, mm-hmm. but they're going to be even greater. But if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. So get off the Instagram. Get off these social medias that are designed to distract you and keep you from making money, and start getting into this AI, learning about it, because that's the thing that's coming, and learn about how it's impacting the commercial real estate industry. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll do a show on it. If you guys give me a bunch of likes, then we'll get some AI specialists in here that deal with commercial real estate, and we'll talk about it. But only if you like and subscribe to this show. How about that? Is that a deal? Well, Mr. Michael Jones, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. I love that you to have you back in the future as you have come back this time. Mm-hmm. Things are going to change a lot. I know that we're active in looking at buying land in the southern sector of Dallas. There's a lot of benefits there. And, you know, if you want to learn more about Mr. Jones and his company, Franchise Real Estate Group, the information is on the screen. But he'll be happy to guide you through any land acquisition, or if you want to sell land out there, he'll be happy to help you through that. So thank you, sir. We really appreciate you being a guest on our show this time.
Thank you very much,
sir. Thank you, sir.